Welcome to Behind the Curtain with Nick Troon, the show where we sit down with theatre practitioners and get a backstage look at the creative process. On today's episode, we sit down with Jero Cutmore, director for the Tamworth Musical Society's 2024 production of We Will Rock You. We'll be talking about jukebox musicals and the challenges of working with well-known music, as well as the unexpected world of this musical in particular. But that's enough from me, let's get on with the show and peek behind the curtain. You're listening to 106.9 Tune FM Behind the Curtain with Nick Troon. My name's Nick, I'm your host, and today I'm sitting down with the director of the Tamworth Musical Society's 2024 production of We Will Rock You, Jero Cutmore. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
First off, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
My name's Jero. I've been involved in community theatre now for about 20 years. And this is my second time directing a show for the Tamworth Musical Society. In the real world, I'm a public servant. So this feeds my creative soul, helps me keep connected with all the different parts of me.
Now, you're here today, as I said before, as the director of the Tamworth Musical Society's 2024 production of We Will Rock You. For our listeners unfamiliar with the show, what's it all about?
We Will Rock You is a Ben Elton / Queen musical. It's based on the songs and music of Queen, but it's set in a futuristic apocalyptic world where all live music has been banned. So the only music available for people is the stuff that's been downloaded directly to them from the Global Soft Corporation.
So what was it that drew you towards choosing this musical to direct?
It's a great show with lots of really, really well-known big songs. Audiences will recognize the music. They will hopefully be singing and dancing in their seats and in the aisles. And I think they'll just come away from it with an amazing sense of having seen something really good.
We were talking quickly off air, and you were saying that this was brought up to you by the musical director. Is that correct?
Correct. So, yeah, originally I had submitted a proposal to direct a different show, and that was also going to be great fun. However, the rights were not available in Australia. So this was brought to me by our musical director, Tim Godden, and I looked at the script. It piqued my curiosity because the script is typical Ben Elton, absolutely slapstick type humour. It's lots of dick jokes, lots of inappropriate comments, various different things. It's actually quite funny. There's lots of laugh out loud moments with our cast. It's absolutely not taking itself very seriously at all. And I think when we read the beginning of the script, Ben Elton actually describes that he decided to do it this way because doing another biography type thing wouldn't have worked for Queen because the music itself is iconic and they went through so many phases in their development from the very beginning all the way to A Night at the Opera, that sort of stuff. So many different genres in amongst it all that doing it like a biopic type musical wasn't going to work. And it's been rewritten and reinvented and reimagined so many times since it was originally written. So it's bringing it up to date, keeping it relevant and making it something that people could actually relate to.
And honestly, as everybody knows, the music of Queen is just larger than life, so it's got to have that energy behind it.
Absolutely huge, absolutely huge. One of the hugest challenges that we've had is recreating that big sound with the multi-layered harmonies. It's been a lot of work for our cast and for our musical director.
Following on from that, this show highlights the music of the rock band Queen, as you said. What challenges and benefits have you found working with music that is so well known and appreciated?
Look, the major benefit is pretty much every song in the show people know. So it's easier in a way to learn because it's something that people know what it should sound like. So they're able to put that twist on it. Its challenge is everybody wants to be Freddie. So when we're putting in the harmonies, the backing vocals, all of those sorts of things, people are having to learn different notes to sing to the ones that they're used to hearing in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so good. Some of the harmonies in this are so challenging, but they're intense, and it is just giving it that big, full Queen rock sound. It's incredible.
And so that's another question. It's the Queen music that we all know and love, but it's in a theatrical context. How do you think that that impacts the music?
The way it's written is the songs help tell the initial story and emphasize the plot of the futuristic world. But we actually end up where the lead character, Galileo, rediscovers rock and roll. Mm. And the final part of the show is just a big rock concert. Ugh. It's full ensemble number with three huge, big hitting songs right at the end. So we get We Will Rock You, then We Are the Champions. And then finally, just when you think it's not going to happen, we get Bohemian Rhapsody.
You've got to fit it in there somewhere.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How do you believe this show fits in amongst the Tamworth Musical Society's previous program?
It's one of those shows that it's something a little different. It switches gears slightly from your standard jukebox musical, your classic Rodgers and Hammerstein type musicals. So it's still got your storyline. It's still got the great music, the great ensemble and choreography numbers, but it appeals to a wider audience in that, oh, it's not typical musical theatre. We're not going to have the boy meets the girl falls in love with the boy, they have a falling out, and then they sing this beautiful ballad and everything's happy and shiny and all the pretty dancing girls come on. Not quite like that. I think this one is going to actually bring some people along who aren't your typical musical theatre type people. Like, they don't necessarily want to go and see a Phantom of the Opera or a State Fair or Calamity Jane. They want to be entertained, and this is highly, highly entertaining. Even just watching rehearsals, it is entertaining. I find myself watching what they're doing and actually singing and dancing along with it. And that's from a director's perspective, where I'm actually trying to tell them what to do as well. I get distracted. The music is so good. It's like going to a full-on rock concert, but with the little storyline in behind it, and with the jokes, with the Ben Elton humour, with the typical British slapstick sitcom type humour.
And speaking on the world of the show, so this show isn't just a concert of Queen music. It also comes with a crazy amount of world building, as the show takes place in a post-apocalyptic landscape that combines space and sci-fi with grunge and punk. How have you found the process of bringing this world to life on stage?
It's the process of disassociation. When we're going into these worlds, we need to change what we expect, change what we know to be real, because this is completely unrealistic, and we've got to try and make it feel realistic, but knowing that it is actually set 300 years in the future.
And so how has it been transferring that idea and that philosophy to your cast?
It's been quite challenging, because a lot of actors on stage want to take their roles very, very seriously. But this show is a little different in that there is not really any serious, genuine characters. They're all tongue-in-cheek. They're all having a bit of a lend of each other. They know that this is not real, but they're pretending that it's real, and they know that they're looking for something that may be more real. And that's where we get to the end, where they actually find something that is real, and that's rock and roll.
With any theatre production, another part of creating a world on stage is the stage. How have you found that part of the process?
We've had some challenges. There are some challenges that we need to address as part of this one. There are certain things that we needed to workshop and figure out how we were going to make it work. But I think we've come up with something that's going to look absolutely amazing. It will be interesting when we get to the theatre, because what you see in your mind's eye and what physically ends up on the stage isn't always exactly the same. There are limitations with budget, with space that we have at the theatre, limitations with our fly towers. We don't have all of the stuff that professional productions can have in professional theatres. We don't have trapdoors. Mm-hmm. We don't have revolving stages. So we have to work with the physical space that we've got to work with. And we're pretty good at that at Tamworth Musical Society, working on the theatre, working with a limited budget and working in with the space that we've got to work with.
Now, changing gears slightly, this isn't your first time in the director's seat, either with this company or otherwise. How has this production differed from your past experiences?
It is very different in that the music is so very, very well known.
Mm.
So we have to make sure that we honour that music as well as honouring the script. So previously, I guess I was lucky in that it was another unrealistic world. It was Seussical, which completely the world of Dr. Seuss. Which was great because you can just take the books, you make it look like that, and you make your characters talk like that and sing like that. So that was a little different. When we come to a stage play rather than a musical, then it's about building the characters and making the characters feel like they're real, relatable people so the audience can make a connection with these people and get invested in their story.
And so how do you think those experiences worked into your technique for this production?
Yeah, I guess this is slightly different in that, yes, we're invested in these characters, but in a much more lighthearted way, I guess.
Mm.
You choose your actors who are right for the role and then allowing them the creative scope to build their characters, to watch the progression, to see what they're going to do naturally on stage and then channel that into what you want it to look like.
Mm. Now, musicals by nature need a larger cast and crew behind them. How do you believe your past experiences in those directing and production roles, how do you think that's prepared you in handling this large a cast and crew?
It is actually very challenging. We've got lots of different walks of life. We've got 15-year-olds up to late 50s in our cast. We've also got to work in with our musical director who's got a 7-piece band who will be on stage during the production. So we're working together, making sure that we've got time for the music to be right, and then we layer in the choreography. So once we get the music right, they can sing the songs, then we move them. And then we have all the beautiful singing and dancing happening all at once. And then we layer in the dialogue and the blocking in around that. So it's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and working together with people. Like the musical director has a vision of how it needs to sound. Then you allow that to happen and then you build on that to make your characters support how the sound is actually going to appear on stage. Then you work with your choreographer to say, okay, well, this is where they are in this space. I need it to look like this. They're having a moment here where they're being brain controlled. So we need them to look a certain way. Their movements need to fit in with the music, but also with where the characters are placed at that point in time.
And so how have you gone about sharing that control between your other lead creatives, your musical director, your choreographer, and that sort of stuff?
I'm in control. It's me. It's all me. No, the first half of the rehearsal period has been focused on music, very minimal when it comes to the dialogue and blocking type stuff. We wanted to get the music right, get the choreography right. So we're just at the point now, 4 weeks before we open, where we're actually putting all those pieces together. So we're doing the dialogue that leads up to the dance number and then moving from the dance number into the next piece of dialogue. So getting those transitions between, oh, yay, we've sung a big song, now we're all puffed, but we've got to keep going. So how do we manage all that? But it's allocating enough time, talking, communication, making sure that you've given enough time, enough space for your other creatives to be able to achieve what you need them to achieve. And then it's filling in the blanks, fitting the puzzle pieces together.
And so before we close up for today, do you want to give a quick promo for the show?
Absolutely. Come and see We Will Rock You at the Capitol Theatre, TMS's latest production. We'll be opening on the 3rd of May and running through until the 18th of May. Get your tickets now.
Thank you for coming and speaking with me.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me, Nick.
You You've been listening to Behind the Curtain with Nick Troon, recorded in TuneFM Studios at the University of New England on Anawan Country. To view the latest episodes and TuneFM's other programs, visit tunefm.net or search TuneFM on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Finally, make sure you're following TuneFM on Facebook and Instagram for the latest updates on new episodes. That's it for today's episode. My name's been Nick, and I'll see you next time.